Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production labor. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. We're now joined by Husker Online's Sean Callahan. Sean, good morning. We don't like on the show to call any game a must-win. But Nebraska falls to Minnesota 24-6. We know what happened last year when Nebraska was 5-1. Are you, Sean Callahan, labeling this game Saturday as a must-win for Nebraska football?
As the legendary Steve Sipple has said to me many times over the years, they're all must-win at a place like Nebraska. If you lose to Houston Christian, you lose to Akron, you lose to McNeese State, whoever.
Yeah, tell me that's not
it doesn't
a must-win,
matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to win. But, yeah, I do think there is just some added pressure because, look, I don't know if anyone's necessarily surprised Nebraska lost on the road at Minnesota. They hadn't won back-to-back road games in 20 years like that. But just the way the loss looked, I mean, I think that's why there's just a rough feel right now because you're like, wow, okay, if they lost in a hard-fought way, but that was a really uncharacteristic way that we just hadn't seen this team play where – they just didn't look locked in. They didn't have a balance on offense. The offensive line gave up 9 sacks on 30-some pass dropbacks. It just everything just seemingly kind of went wrong for them on offense and defense. And I think it's just kind of added to what this game now means to kind of right the ship here a little bit. And you've got two home games in a row, Northwestern, and then obviously a very good USC team that is a borderline playoff-level roster that's coming into Lincoln. And you could argue that's as difficult as any game on the schedule for Nebraska remaining.
Sean Callahan joins us. And, Sean, you're really good at this, the vibe question. What do you think the vibe will be like in that stadium at 11 a.m.? You know, 10:30, 10:45, what kickoff? What do you think is the feel's going to be? Is it going to be packed? Is it going to, are we going to see some empty sections? What's it going to look like?
I mean, it's going to have this feel. A lot of arm crossing, a lot of serious faces.
Yes.
I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right, Sip?
I do. Yeah.
Just kind of like people aren't really probably tailgating. I mean, there'll be people tailgating and drinking and stuff, but you know, people are just going to have this locked in, like angry, serious feel. And Nebraska needs to come out and play good early. You know, that crowd will get grumbly quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, if they come up fast.
And
Coach Bush might, Sip and I joke about this, when you're in the stadium and get the atmosphere is gone, all you can hear then is the planes that fly above and the like, you don't want the stadium to get to that point where all you can hear is the propellers of the planes flying the signs above the stadium.
Right.
And I agree with you, Sean, as far as you need something instant to get going, because 11 a.m. games, there's not much juice. They are maybe if it's the first game of the season or something, but when it's down and it's not 11 a.m. and it's not big noon kickoff.
Right.
It's not that's why the game is that it's like I said, it's a penance game. It's a torture game.
I've had a lot of penances. but yes,
that's so what Sean did. He nailed it. What's it going to be like? So if it's slow and the game is 10-10 at half, it won't be a rambunctious crowd.
Sean, go back to Friday night. Nebraska surrenders 9 sacks. Minnesota had no sacks their previous 2 games. It's been a constant problem this year. We know there's injuries to Rocco Spindler, of course, the targeting with Elijah Pritchett, but I mean, this has been an issue now for weeks. What can they do to resolve this ahead of a team that just shut out Purdue the last time out?
Well, you've got to run the ball with more commitment. I mean, Emma Johnson, in terms of yards right now, is the leading rusher in the Big Ten Conference. So you got the leading back in the conference in mid-October. When's the last time that's happened? There's no excuse. Like, you've got to get him at over 20 carries a game in these Big Ten games. I mean, it has to happen. Because if you don't have the balance and the commitment to the run after first down, it allows, even when they're only rushing 4, like Minnesota, or 3 or 2, like we saw one instance, they can just pin their ears back. They don't have to respect the chance of a run. And they just go. And then they're 7 or 8 in coverage. And it creates issues. So, they need the balance. They've got to get the ball out of Dylan Raiola's hands quicker. And, whether it's screens or slants or something. But the ball has to get out of his hand quicker, you know, more in the 2 to 3 second range, not the 4. You know, like you see these stats, and I was like, whoa. I mean, Nebraska's offensive line is giving him over 4 points some second. That's not good. Like, a football play is not supposed to be over 4 seconds. It's 1, 2, 3 throw, and the ball's got to get out. It can't, you know, when Dylan doesn't get the ball out after a read or two and starts to move around, that's usually, you know, Minnesota was a great example of that. Good things generally don't happen. You can escape a few of those and make a left-hand throw or a shovel pass and things like that, but that's not a consistent formula to win in this conference.
Switching over to defense, Sean, we heard John Butler yesterday was pretty revealing in saying that he didn't disagree with Matt Rule's assessment that he called a vanilla game. He said he pulled back a little bit after Darius Taylor's 71-yard run, you know, led to a touchdown. What did you make of that? That he did pull back a little bit.
I thought he had some Michigan flashbacks where, the way they were being lined up, guys were maybe taking some bad run fits or bad angles. And I think he was fearful that, you know, if he was going to call a play like aggressively in some of these situations and one guy made a bad mistake, it was going to lead to these home runs, because that shouldn't have happened, that play. I mean, guy's coming off a hamstring injury. He's still not even 100% healthy, and you let him go 71 yards on you after literally that was like more rushing yards on that one play than Taylor has had in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
So that shouldn't have happened, and I think it spooked him. Because you go back to the Michigan game, that's how they lost the Michigan game on defense. They had 3 or 4 of those type of plays, and I think he was fearful, like, hey, if I'm going to call some of this stuff that way and one guy has a bad angle or a bad fit, which happened there, all of a sudden that's going to happen. And, it was a tough spot to be in, because Minnesota was not supposed to be a big play offense like that. That was just not on the script anywhere.
As far as that goes, hey, were you surprised Guthrie got a black shirt?
No, because he's played 235 snaps over the last 4 weeks compared to like 90 for Buford. He's beat out Marquise Buford, which, you know, hasn't gotten a lot of attention. because I think they've been very diplomatic and respectful. Because Marquise, he's a captain, right?
Yeah, I'm not positive, but
he's a single digit guy.
Uh-huh.
So I do think there's some, you know, you got to be a little diplomatic there and respect with how things play out. But yeah, Guthrie has won that job and was given a black shirt on Monday as they started the week. And, you know, he's been the starter, what, 4 or 5 weeks in a row now.
Sean, going back to Monday, to Matt Rhule's press conference, which was very – we haven't talked to you since then, obviously. It was very striking, right, in a lot of ways, how transparent he was about his staff, some of his players. What was your main takeaways, two or three, from that session with Rhule?
Yeah, it was a unique session because he's never had one like that where he just, you know, unloaded. But I think he knew if he didn't do that, people would be disappointed. I mean, if he didn't say what needed to be said and, you know, took the onus, but blame, you know, a lot of blame across the board. And it was.
Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
I mean, it just magnifies this week now that much more what needs to happen, because if they don't come out and respond to that, then you're worried, because USC can come in here with their offense and cause a lot of problems for Nebraska. And, you know, if Nebraska's offense is struggling to do anything, you know, that game can get ugly. So this is such a big week to see how this team responds, to see how Dana responds, how John Butler responds, how the players respond, because, you know, it's just not going to get any easier. I mean, there are no easy games left, but this is probably the easiest one of your last five, the way UCLA has been playing lately, the way Penn State is still on the road. Iowa's caught fire here as of late. So there are no easy ones left, and this is such an important game to kind of, you know, turn this season back to where you want it to be at 6-2.
Okay, Sean, along those lines, what is a reasonable expectation for this team now? Have you adjusted it in your mind after this jolting loss, or what? How do you assess that? What is a reasonable expectation in the regular season for this team right now?
I mean, I think most of us had 8, some had 9, and I still think they can get to 8. I really do. I think this week, though, is monumental to kind of measure what that's going to look like, and if they can get to that win total. I mean, UCLA on the road, I still think that's a very winnable game, just because it's not going to be a real road atmosphere. It'd be more red in that stadium than I still think Penn State's a game they could actually win on the road. And we never thought that going into the year, that they could win that game. Iowa, there'll be a lot of emotion in that game. Eight wins still very much can happen, but they've got to win this game Saturday to get to that point. I think USC is probably the most difficult, though, or I just don't know if they match up well in that game, especially with the way USC's offense plays.
What are your principal concerns on Saturday? We watched the games together. That first couple series, what are you really watching closely?
How they stop the run on early downs defensively. If Northwestern's getting 5-6 yards on first down, and they're doing that consistently, it's going to be a long day. They've got to get back to the point where they're winning those early rundowns, where they're holding them to 1 or 2 yard runs and putting Northwestern in the throwing situations. Northwestern, not a great throwing team. They run it about 60% of the time. They don't want to throw it. So I think, how will Nebraska win and match up early on run defense? And then Dylan Raiola, how how quickly will the ball get out of his hands? Like, and will he throw it away? I mean, I think that's a real fair criticism at this point. Why does Dylan Raiola not throw the ball away more instead of trying to kind of extend plays or take sacks? There's got to be situations where if nothing's there, throw it away. Don't run around and take a sack in a situation where nothing's there. You got to just throw the ball away and live to see another day.
Fine line there, though. Trying to make some plays too downfield.
True.
Right?
Sean, always good stuff. Thanks for the time. We'll chat with you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Line, Sean Callahan.
Yeah. If they get to six, if they beat Northwestern and get to six, and you think they could get to eight, although that schedule ahead, you just got to count on winning close games. Got to count on winning close games.
Yeah, like I said, of the talent level, this is, like Sean said, I 100% agree with, this is the least. This is the least roster-wise you'll see it. But you're going to go into a Penn State. I mean, Penn State is going to be just demolished. I mean, they got to play Ohio State yet, mm-hmm. You know, in 2 weeks. Is Penn State off this week also? But in 2 weeks, I mean, they're going to be just in horrific shape as a team.
Think unless they can win a couple.
Penn State is off this week.
And then what?
Then they play Ohio
State.
They play
at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then they host Indiana. Yeah. Oh, they're going to be 0-6 in conference play.
So, I mean, they're
they might be decimated.
Yeah, just decimated. I don't know if they can even rally them up for any sort of a win anywhere. Decimated. But think about this, though. If you go there and win, and they're at the time they're 0-6, it's like it doesn't really count. It really doesn't. I mean, as far as you say, oh, no, it's still Penn State. I get that part of counting. But if you're like, I know the committee really won't be involved in this world, but the committee would look at it and say, just beat a team that has not won a game in the league, and they're 0-6.
And what will that scene look like?
Oh, no, it will be.
I want to see that stadium.
Northwestern, it was half full. Northwestern was not. I mean, it will be terrible. It will be absolutely terrible.
30,000 people there or something?
It's going to be cold. Yeah. It's going to be 0-16.
Now, I'm probably overreacting a ton. What's it hold, 100?
100 plus thousand.
100 plus. There's got to be 60 there, right?
There's 111,000 for the whiteout against Oregon.
Okay, so you would think 60.
Boy, I don't know. Just remember.
60.
106,000 is the capacity there.
Just think about this.
Can you give me 60?
No. Not if they're 0-6. No. No chance. Because here's why.
0-6 in
conference play. What do you know about Penn State as far as travel?
It's hard to get to.
Very difficult. So that will just be someone's in Pittsburgh going, I'm really not going.
Yeah,
Harrisburg. I'm not going to go. We're 0-6. We don't have a coach. And I'm not going to drive through all this stuff and get caught in traffic and get home late. I'm not doing it. And so that is, once again, a huge compliment to Nebraska. Because if Nebraska was in that spot and Penn State was coming here, they'd still fill the place.
God, this league. I watched Iowa Penn State yesterday on the 60-minute deal they have on BTN. They're not great, but they are physical and big. Those teams at the line of scrimmage, you have to start at the line of scrimmage in this league. Iowa, I mean, they have monsters up front. They're not that great, but they're gigantic. Yeah. And they hammer. I just saw plays where they're hammering Penn State. I mean, just hammering away. You got to fortify. You have to fortify in there.
In the history of college football, I don't know if there's ever been a bigger fall. If they go to 0-6 in the league and their coach
looks like they're going to.
And it looks like, I don't know how they don't. I mean, they're not beating Ohio State. And how can they beat Indiana?
No, they have no chance the next two games. None.
None. So they're
seriously, they don't have a chance.
No, not really.
They don't have really. They'd be 0-6. Think about that.
Oh God.
And they closed with at Michigan State. Home against Nebraska and at Rutgers. They could get two or three wins in conference, potentially. Yeah. But we're talking about number two preseason.
How many wins do they have?
They're 3-4 right now. 0-4 in conference, 3-0 otherwise.
So they really have no chance. There's not three wins there.
Unless they win the last three. Unless they beat Michigan State, Nebraska, Rutgers. They could beat Nebraska.
Nebraska, it could happen. I don't see that.
But their best case is 6-6. They will not beat Ohio State. They will not beat Indiana.
And then you wonder, too, what's it going to be like there? Are they going to be kind of like, I would guarantee there'll be some on that team that wants to go play in a bowl game bet. And there'll be a lot of them that just want to be over. There will be. There'll be a lot of them just want to be over.
I understand.
Last year, even though Nebraska finished the season at 6-6 and then went to the bowl, right?
Correct. 7-6. That's right.
So at 6-6, Nebraska was still a very happy team.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When they went to New York City,
different circumstances.
Very happy team.
Yeah.
Like that. Penn State, If they're six and six, it's not.
Nobody's
the same.
Picking Nebraska to win a national title last year.
They're the semis last year, and
one play
led,
away,
led by 10 points twice in that semifinal game. By the way,
I don't know if it'll be a better scenario at that. Okay, here we go. We're down six, overtime, our ball at home, 111,000 people score this touchdown, and unbelievable. And instead, nope, throw a pick, crash
then
out,
game over. Then it got toxic. Just toxic so fast.
They gave up 42 points at UCLA the next week. They were down 27-7 at halftime in that game. Long trip. I don't care. And UCLA had some. They found something, but still, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Wow, what a year!
Before I get to break, Bill, I'm curious. Last night, the lights on the house. What'd you have for a theme?
Made the change. It's just fall. It just says fall
theme.
And you see it. It looks like fall. It looks Thanksgiving.
What is it?
Yeah, this kind
orange-ish
of
orangish and brown,
some green, there's some yellow.
Yeah, just mixing some yellows.
Yes, yellows, absolutely.
Some hues. There's a mixture of hues.
Hues are good.
Yes, it's very impressive. Thank you. The lights in our neighborhood are incredible. I can't wait. You're really down to about 1 to 2 weeks tops before Christmas to get them in.
Yep.
Get a hold of Josh McGuire. Oh. Yeah.
Under the gun.
Neiman and Sons.
And talk about your life changing when all of a sudden you get to change them every day. So is there ever a day, a night, Jake, you've had your lights off?
Never. No, they're always on.
They're always on. You have a selection. And a lot of
times, what did you have on last night?
I also had fall on last night.
Was it nice?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's really
pleasant.
If you put on the bright whites, it's like, oh, wow, it's so bright.
It's a lot of light.
It's really bright. So when we change them, it's like, okay, we need to tone this down. The neighbors are not happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
HaloCustomLighting.com, also Neiman and Sons for your own lights. As Bill says, it's Christmas.
Change your life.
Do not delay if you want them for Christmas.
You have control of your life.
Yes. You do. When we come back, Tom Fornelli's got thoughts on Dylan Raiola.
Those
are next on Early Break in the Ticket.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.